Welcome to the Almost Perfect Podcast, a celebration of checking your ego. Yo, this week got a little interesting, to say the least. Remember last week I was talking about, like, at the end of the podcast, where I was talking about how one guy came to the open mic late and didn't greet me or Liam, the other guys who run the gig, and then just wanted to jump on stage, and we were like, nah, that's not gonna happen, you know, you can come back another time. Well, yeah, that guy tried to fight me this week on Wednesday when I was trying to smooth things over with him. And it's all because I told him to check his ego. So, yeah, man, it's been interesting. I'm not going to get into the fucking details and shit, because to be honest with you, like, I just want this shit to be over with. Like, I am so tired of fucking dealing with other people's, like, unresolved emotional issues. Like, I've left the Durban comedy scene before because I actually just got over having to fucking deal with some of the people, and generally their fucking egos that are super inflated for very little fucking reason. Like, you know, we're all just doing comedy here in fucking Durban to handfuls of people at a time. And, you know, you want to think like you're a fucking superstar. And I've got no time for that. Like, that's just not the life I'm trying to live. That's not people I want to spend my time with. That's just not vibes I fuck with. Like, it's so interesting to me sometimes to see, you know, the people actually at the top of the mountain. You know, the people who do sell out shows, who travel the world doing comedy, who are big names, they're on TV, they win awards, they're, you know, the names, like, are some of the most humble, chilled, easygoing, fucking rad, funny people. You know, people who I really just enjoy spending time with outside of comedy, you know, like, I love hanging out with some people because they're just so fucking mellow and easy, and they don't have egos about their thing, you know, they're still working their craft. They will go from, you know, 9,000 people at Trevor Noah to go jump onto a gig to 30 people straight afterwards on the same night. And, like, you know, those are the guys that, like, personally I respect a lot and I admire, and who I'm trying to be more like. You know, they're people who, yeah, like, personally, I'm grateful to have access to and to, you know, be able to see how people operate. Because these guys will also, like, you know, message you before the gig, being like, hey, bro, is there space for me to jump on tonight? And, like, these are headline acts, yet they will be humble enough and they will respect other people's time and effort enough to not just walk in and think that they own the place, you know? So, I don't know, like, it's been interesting, and I have also been doing, like, a lot of self-reflection and stuff, and, like, just trying to figure out what my role in everything really is. But, yeah, like, a lot of this just does feel to me like, you know, my philosophy of life and how other people sometimes operate do not fucking line up. And that's cool, because we don't need them. Like, always can do their own fucking things. Like, I've got no, like, you know, beefs or whatever. I'm not trying to fuck with anyone else's vibe. I'm not trying to fuck up anyone else's vibe. I'm just trying to do some cool shit with my friends, you know? Like, the Not Quite Right crew and I, we've been having amazing times. Like, even Wednesday, the gig was so fucking dope. Like, you know, we pulled quite a decent crowd and we had a lot of fun. Like, you know, we had, speaking of which, you know, Tats and Konzo, Mo Matebe, they pulled through at the end. Robbie was there as well. He, like, yeah, he basically introduced them and stuff. And, you know, always were having good sets before that. Fucking crowd was having a great time. So it felt great, man. And it was also cool to see, like, even the acts there, you know, at the end of the night, everyone helping pack up, you know, all the comedians and stuff busy helping pack up the chairs and the stage and everything like that. obviously when we get there, like, we set everything up, like the, like there's a handful of us, like, that's, you know, are the are the setup crew basically, and we set up the stage and we set up the speaker, the sound, the chairs, you know, lighting, everything. Like, we put in some fucking effort, and yeah, we don't need to have people who don't respect that doing the gig. Like, that's how I feel, obviously. Like, no one's entitled to stage time, like, at all. Like, nobody. You have to be cool. You have to earn that. You have to also just respect the fucking gig. That's it. That's it. But yeah, like, I'm pretty stoked though, like, that at this point, you know, like, this time that, you know, shit's happening and I'm just like, ugh, these people. There's also other people who I'm like, fuck yeah, I love you guys. Like, you guys are the best. You guys are so fucking funny. You guys are just the raddest people. And that's been fucking cool to have. You know, that's really been, the Not Quite Right stuff has genuinely been, like, life-changing for me. Like, it's so cool to just be able to connect with a group of people with a common goal, and for everyone to put in the effort and everyone to put in the work and everyone to just feel this camaraderie, you know, that we're building something, that we're building ourselves and each other. Because that's the thing, we all just have the same goal. We just want to be good at stand-up comedy. Like, it's not about fame and fortune and all of that. You know, maybe that sort of stuff will come down the road. Maybe that's in the stars. Maybe it's not. Like, at this point, I'm really, like, not too stressed about it. I just care about the fucking art form of comedy and creating a space where people can practice that art form, myself included. You know, it's been a valuable space for me to grow and learn and try and figure some stuff out, because, like, I've got a lot of jokes that I know work and are cool and that, but I want to keep doing new shit. I want to keep trying to find new jokes and seeing what works and what doesn't, and it's been a cool space for that. And on Wednesday, a lot of the jokes didn't work. Like, quite a few of them did not work for me. A few did. There were some wins there. But yeah, it was actually a pretty shitty set for me. But it's a space where, you know, I feel comfortable enough to fail. And I want that for other people as well. Obviously, you got to try and bring your A game. The goal is to make people laugh. But yeah, it's also to try and grow. It's to try and learn. And so, yeah, we're trying to just create that space. We're just trying to foster a cool community of people who have similar goals, you know? So I'm just going to keep working with the homies and keep working on the craft. I've actually, it's kind of funny, like, my response to all of this personally has just been, been rereading a book I read a few years ago called Breaking Comedy's DNA, which is, I think, what's the guy's name? Like, Jeff Corley? Let me quickly check here. I've got the PDF. Yeah. Jerry Corley. Sorry. Jerry Corley's Breaking Comedy's DNA, which, if you want to get into stand-up comedy, is definitely a book I think you should read. It's, you know, there are techniques to this thing. There are certain formulas. There are certain ways to, you know, there's frameworks, essentially. There is structure. And learning that is kind of the only way to, like, you know, learn how to break it, basically. Like, obviously, there's simple joke writing techniques and that, but it delves into deeper stuff, and it's, like, really cool. There's even some philosophy stuff in it, you know, philosophy of comedy and that. And it's been a cool little refresher, you know. Today, after I put this out, I'm gonna rework some of my jokes and try and just tighten certain things up and, you know, try to find more pathways and try different techniques on certain ideas. And yeah, like, as I say, man, I've just got one goal at the moment, and that's to just get as good a comedy as I possibly can. And that's gonna mean experimentation, it's gonna mean taking some L's, it's gonna be meaning, you know, yeah, some failed experiments, basically. And some victories. Like, there have been some cool moments, like, at these open mic gigs where I've found some new stuff that I'm like, okay, cool, there's something here, you know? And I'm not the only one. I've actually seen quite a few other people grow quite a bit in the relatively short space of time. Like, Aiden Collier, who actually used to be in a band called The Rising End. He was a vocalist for this really dope Christian hardcore band in Durban, or more metalcore, I guess. But yeah, he's been doing comedy and it's been cool to hang with him again. And like, you know, because we've got like this long fucking history and stuff. And yeah, I see him each week, like, getting fucking better, you know, finding the jokes that work. And like, he fucking killed it on Wednesday. And then Akhil Maharaj, he fucking killed it on Wednesday. He's a fucking killer, though. Like, I rate Akhil very highly. And I think, yeah, he's going to be doing some big things. And we'll definitely be getting him on the podcast soon. I'm actually going to be chatting to the rest of the NQR team over the next coming weeks or so. So that's something to look forward to. So you get to know the team and that. Because these are people I really like and I really believe in, you know. I really want to see us all win. And yeah, there's also been some new acts, you know, who have all been mostly pretty good. Like, it's actually been frustrating to see people come up and like do well their first times. And there's me busy like stinking up the stage like after them. They're like, aren't you meant to be good at this thing? It's like, I don't know, maybe sometimes, like occasionally, every now and again. But yeah, like, you know, even the big names still go down in flames sometimes. And yeah, if you're not going to be willing to fail, like, I don't think, you know, comedy is for you, really, to be honest. Like, it is a, like, even in sets that typically work or are working, there can be like, you know, all these minute little failures, all these little misses that also, like, you know, can pile up. But yeah, that's kind of the vibe, I guess. That's kind of where I've been at. Fuck, that was a long ass intro. I think it's also going to be the outro, because I don't really have much more to say other than, yeah, go Boca, I guess. That's been fun. Like, I've decided to not be a Grinch about, you know, the jocks and us supporting the guys who probably would have bullied me in high school, you know. Like, it's fine, it's for the nation, and it's been fun, it's been exciting. Like, these last two matches, the quarterfinals and the semifinals, have definitely been some exciting sports, and there's been narrative and structure that like comes through that I've been able to enjoy as well. Like, I mean, I grew up watching sports. My mom still, like, she's a massive, massive, like, sports fan. And, like, every weekend, you know, it's, like, from the Formula One to the rugby to the cricket to the tennis to the cycling to everything. Like, she loves it. She knows everything. So, you know, I understand, like, the language of sports pretty well. And that's also been kind of cool, I guess. It's just reconnecting with some of that, you know, reconnecting with a past that I have kind of just let go, because sports is a little exhausting to me to keep up with in general, you know, every weekend. Like, I'm not gonna follow like a football team, because I'm not gonna watch this multiple times a week and have to care about all these different things. I don't. Like, if a game's on, I'll watch it and I'll be entertained. Like, I'll pick a side that I want to win. Like, I know the teams, you know. Like, I'm a guy. Like, it's fucking almost unavoidable, like, you know, in our culture. So, like, even if you're not paying attention, you still know what's happening in the various leagues and whatever. But World Cups are cool because it's a self-contained, like, tournament arc. Like, if we're talking about, like, Dragon Ball Z, or if we're talking about anime and stuff like that, yeah, like, it's a tournament arc, which is always just a good storyline. It's always a good little segment to have, like, if you're writing a TV show that goes on for years and years and years. And yeah, it does create extra stakes, and, you know, there's a narrative being woven from game to game and even within each game. And so for me, that's been enjoyable. That's been hella enjoyable. And I'm pretty keen to check it out tomorrow, actually. Yes, that's when the finals is going to happen. And I don't know, it's giving 1995 World Cup energy. Like, I haven't watched the previous World Cups. Like, I know we've been winning, but for some reason, this one just feels a little different. Like, it does have that energy to it that, like, yo, we kind of really need this. So we'll see how everything plays out. It could play out tragically, We are either going to be, you know, drinking to celebrate or to drown our sorrows. And it's going to be cool. We're going to be spending some time with people I love and, yeah, connecting with my fellow South Africans. So that does bring us to the end. Just a short one, just a quick little check in there. Let you know where my head's at. Where's your head at? Where's your head at? Well, there you go. Now you know. And yeah, obviously you can support this podcast by going to patreon.com/almostperfect. And over at patreon.com/almostperfect, there is a tier. It's called the titular titles tier, and it is a $10 tier. It is the top tier. And at this tier, you can pick your title right here on the Almost Perfect podcast, and I will shout you out at the end of each episode. So, shout out to Rousseau, the storage clerk of subtle heresies in the Lesser Overberg region. Russell Grant, the Far East correspondent. Neil Green, the key grip. Grant Slemon, the Almost Perfect hedge fund manager. Riz Ventura, the director of purchasing. Karan Chetty, the assistant to the regional manager. Kathy Jenkin, the inevitable ruler of the universe and Queen Swifty, and the executive producer, Stephen Olivier. Of course, need to thank Damien Roetz for the bed music you hear underneath me, and the banging intro you hear at the beginning of each and every single episode. And of course, last but not least, shoutouts to you. I will catch you on the flip side.